The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah, it is that time again. Information, that's what you want. 27 days until kickoff. That is the most important information we have. NFL player news, we'll go all over it all day. Of course, you always want to go to the website, fantasyinsights.com. Click on NFL player news. You can sort by player, by team, by the time it was posted, and you should definitely sign up for our mailing list. You can do that on the front page of the site and get nightly email updates we call Instant Insights with all the player news. T.O. is back, playing for his life. I love a player playing for a contract. I really love a player playing for his life. So T.O., I'm very high on. Dan Rose said I'm absolutely crazy, which is nothing new. He's always thought so, and most think he's right. I had him 25 on our initial rankings. A few days later, I've got him at 29. He is a top 30 receiver. He is a starter in leagues where you start three receivers, no doubt. T.O. is back playing for his life. Randy Moss playing for something to prove. I like him, too. And today in the Halfax League that's underway, I'm totally blowing that auction, by the way. Dr. Moneyball hates me. He keeps giving me recommendations. He says I'm just like a real NFL GM. He gives me great recommendations, and I do the opposite. So Doc Money's a little angry. I ended up blowing a bit on some safeties. I don't know anything about defense. You know that. But anyway, this league's underway, and I'm bidding against Randy Moss with a man named the Taz, the Fantasy Taz. Jim Day will be here today. For those of you who don't know, I'm now co-hosting his podcast with him tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. So we've got Thursday a little bit of Dish and some experts. Friday you get to see me be a guest. And then now Mike Neese will be here today. He's participating in the very prestigious Fantasy Football Webmasters Draft. That is the league that we won last year. Mike Neese won it for Fantasy Insights, includes all the big sites, a nice title. We're all going to talk about that. And also the FanEx Draft starts this week. For those of you who forgot about this, last year FanEx was the league where I thought I was supposed to be doing the league, but Neese was supposed to be doing the league, and I took Mike Vick in the sixth spot. Oh, boy, Mike Neese didn't like that. Trent Richardson under the knife, getting his knee scoped. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks, but he will be back for week one, although we have dropped him from 6 to 12 in our rankings, thinking this will definitely temper his workload. Of course, in keeper leagues, this is great news. You just want to draft him at a lower price. Evan Royster looks like he's going to be the lead back in Washington. I just don't see Shanahan going this far to motivate Roy Helu. Javid Best still is not cleared to play. LaShore will be practicing next week, but Kevin Smith still the back to own in Detroit. Doug Martin, number two on the depth chart. Number one in snaps, number one in your hearts. Don't pay attention. All that did was give you a great chance to get Martin cheaper. Maurice Jones-Drew, still unsigned, still holding out. May not play this year. If he does, he's going to have a slow start. Like I said, Jim Day will be here to discuss that a little bit. Mike Neese, that guy from Chicago, won't do the stock exchange. We'll talk about the leagues. Todd Colburn, he's going to commission the Writers League. Hey, Todd, thanks. Welcome to hell. We'll be doing that auction soon. I guess it's going to be a draft. And maybe we'll do it on air. I've always wanted to do it on air. Nobody lets me do it. But you know what? It's my show. I should just overrule everybody. The custom rankings tool for Fantasy Insights is fully updated. You need to use this thing. I'm going to go into it in a minute. And, of course, follow us at Fantasy Insights, our new Twitter. We just started it a couple months ago. We put our own news up there. We retweet from all the good sources. So we have so many more listeners than we do Twitter or Facebook followers. Follow us! Go on Twitter. Go on Facebook. Get us a following. We get advertisers. We stay on the air. You like that. All right, seriously, if you are listening to this podcast, take a minute. Just go follow us on Twitter. Go like us on Twitter or Facebook or whatever you do. I don't know how you do anything. I just tweet. That's all I know. But you should all be on our mailing list getting the nightly player news, which you can join from the site. And, of course, do not forget our premium show sponsor, Northwoods Cheese, Northwoods Cheese, NorthwoodsCheese.com. Gourmet Foods, the premium sponsor. Fantasy Insights Radio back for another week of sports, steak, and the sexes. And I just got to say, you know, that I always love this kind of stuff. So I'm going to start with we have a new celebrity moron. Today was Randy Travis. Have you heard this story yet? This is fantastic. Randy Travis, you know, the country crooner, he basically did one of my favorite things, which is he ended up naked in public. I love when people do this kind of stuff. You know, we had Fred Willard just a couple of weeks ago. He was a little more than naked, but, you know. So Travis goes out drinking. He gets shit hammered. And he goes and he walks into a store naked and says, "Give me a pack of smokes." Travis is like 6'4". Can you imagine you're a clerk? I mean, I guess that means that the genitalia is about the level of the counter. So, I mean, like, theoretically, it could have even been resting on the counter. And he walks up to the clerk, and the clerk's looking at him, and the clerk is amazing. I love the clerk's response. He looks at him, and the guy's naked. So he says, "How are you going to pay for that?" I don't want to tell you a story in college about when we got dropped off as pledges, 25 of us, with no money in the middle of nowhere, and one guy thought he was really being the hero when he pulled a rolled $20 bill out of his sphincter. Well, guess what? None of us wanted to be friends with him anymore after that. And none of us wanted to touch the money. That I can guarantee. All right. So he gets hammered. He goes to the store. He asks for smokes. He gets frustrated when the clerk says he got no money. So he leaves, gets in his car, goes and crashes, and the 911 call basically says, yeah, some dude crashed and he's lying bloody in the street. That's Randy Travis. So then the police come to get him and he threatens to shoot the police. Now, I've been very drunk before. I've run down the street naked, yes. Yes, I have. But somehow this just strikes me wrong. You're probably wondering when I ran down the street naked. Or actually, you're probably not wondering. You probably just think I got chased out of someplace. But here's the story. 1991, senior year, University of Michigan, Elvis Gerbach and the Michigan Wolverines up in the third quarter, 24-14 against rival Notre Dame. So I say to all my buddies, "We got it in the bag, we got it in the bag," and they all say, "Oh, don't talk dish, don't say," and I said, "Hey, if we lose this game, I'll run Greenwood naked." Now, Greenwood was the stretch of road that spanned about, maybe 3 or 4 football fields long, and it was a one-way street, and it was lined with houses on both sides of all pretty much of the cool seniors and juniors who lived outside of the fraternity houses, sorority houses after they moved out. And basically, I knew everybody there. But I'm a man of my word. So despite the fact that it was about 39 degrees, despite the fact that it was evening, look, you know what happens to your schmeckle when it's cold, fellas. You don't want women seeing that. So I got to tell you, I figured, you know what? I'm going to drop them. I'm going to run as fast as I can. And because I run so fast, nobody's going to notice the little shrinking thing. Because, you know, I couldn't, hey, can't ruin your reputation. Can't be a college guy and girls can't, like, judge you on your shrunken, freezing penis. Come on. You got to have them judge you on the real thing. I mean, if you're going to be naked in front of a woman, you want to at least be flaccid. Oh, God, that's great. He'd hate me for telling this story, but I'll never forget my best buddy and I. We are so bad. We were playing strip go fish. We didn't even know how to play poker. We must have been 14, 15. Two hot girls. Well, one was really horribly ugly, actually. One was very hot. We got the very ugly one out of the room somehow. And we're playing strip go fish with the young hottie. Now, both of us end up completely naked. Okay, and she still got her bra and underwear on. And my buddy, who, you know, I mean, you're best friends with the guy. We're like brothers. I mean, let's just say he was not having, you have a bad hair day. He was not having a good dick day. Me, on the other hand, by some force of God's great will, I looked like John Holmes. I mean, I was just in a great situation. Didn't know, never had it before, never had it since. But that day, in front of that girl, when it needed to come through, I got some gifts. So we finished playing strip go fish. We get naked. Each of us is naked. She's in her bra and panties. And we realize as we're playing the game, she doesn't understand the game's over. She thinks the game ends when all of you have your clothes off. Well, we're not going to tell her. Of course we're not. Oh, my God, we're actually going to see those boobs. We're actually going to see that golden triangle. We're going nuts. And then his older sister comes home, pounds down the door, and says, what the hell are you guys doing? Throws the girl out, tells her what's going on. Oh, we never had it happen. One of those moments you never forget. So anyway, I ran down Greenwood naked many years later and split the pants down, ran as fast as I could, ran in a blur, and, you know, it wasn't so bad. It was just cold. Nobody really saw. You know, I made a flash. Although one girl did say that I had balls for what I did, I thought. But what she meant was she couldn't see anything else. Oh, boy. The life and times of Dish. Now, you know that I'm back on Bravo again. The wife loves The Real Housewives of whatever. She doesn't care. If there's a real housewife in it, all that drama, she loves it. Why don't they have, like, the gay house husbands? Wouldn't there be more drama in that? That would be a gay show I would watch. The Gay Men of West Hollywood, or the Gay House Husbands of West Hollywood. You think there's drama with these catty New Jersey ladies? Oh, boy, some West Hollywood queens would really get the television sizzling. If you can't get that, just watch this millionaire real estate thing that she has on every once in a while. You ever seen that? Now the guy's got a terrible rap. It's terrible, terrible television. All right, before we get out to the break, we do have a little bit of time. But did you see that the victim, remember that week, the South Beach cannibal? You remember that week in the summer where the whole world gone crazy for like a week? There was like cannibalism all over. There was that killer in Canada. It started with what we thought was the bath salts guy. You know, the guy, the naked guy who came in and he ate the guy's face off. So the guy is like at the beach. He's coming home from the beach. He's angry. Maybe he's a little hungry. He starts eating the face. The cops shoot him. You remember that? I was going crazy about this. So then now they're interviewing the guy who got his face eaten. And he's talking about it so matter-of-factly. He's like, he jumped on top of me. He was chewing on my face. He ripped my eyeballs out of my skull. Oh, my God. He ripped your eyeballs out of your skull. You remember it? It's horrifying. And they have the picture of him. So you can go see that interview if you want. Go Yahoo, victim of South Beach cannibal. You get to see it. Fred Willard we had recently, the director of Coney. Are all these things connected? All these guys get naked. Randy Travis got naked. Fred Willard, well, I guess he sort of was naked. The Coney director, he has the most successful thing in Facebook of all time, 85 million views on his film, and then he's caught naked in his car masturbating? Are you kidding me? Come on, there's some drug. It's like this Manchurian candidate thing. Anyway, the election of our lifetime is coming up. Which way will you vote? Today, I got to tell you something. I don't care about either one. I got my feelings. I got my solutions. No campaign spending. It's nonsense. Give them each $300 million of government money. Tell them they each get this amount of time on television. They get their own website. They get 11 debates. And that's it. No donations, no lobbyists, no advertising allowed by super PACs or anybody else. Each just does it. It's too complicated. That's the problem. It's all about the lobbies. That's why I stick to my philosophy, which is they are all equally full of garbage. So I vote for lower taxes and better defense. Those are my two core issues. You don't like it? Vote another way. I don't care. All right. Football season is here. The custom rankings tool from FI is something you have to get. You input your scoring system. It's the best way to really predict your player performance. Our soccer report is coming out tonight, too. All you English, all you Brits who want to hear Andrew Howard, the FI Brit coming back, he'll be on soon. Not today. I'm not bringing him on during football. But go and join. Go and join in. Take a look at the soccer report and get in one of those soccer leagues. Go to Yahoo. All right. But football stories we're going to talk about when we come back. T.O., Randy Moss, Plaxburgh, it's the aged men coming back. We will be back in segment two with Jim Day, the Fantasy Taz, who will join me and school me as usual. Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday. We'll be back after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show. Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Oh, yeah, we are back. Pretty soon I'm going to have the Tasman with me. I just can't get over this bath salt stuff. You got the naked people running around. It's crazy. Randy Travis is like good, wholesome country fun. I mean, everybody who listens to country music and knows country music knows he's a dirtbag alcoholic and loves to smoke his ciggies. Nothing wrong with that. It's where good music comes from. But come on, walking into the general store naked, schvants on the counter. I love what the clerk said to him. How are you going to pay for that? Hey, you guys all know that I've been a buffoon many times in my life. In fact, some argue I always am. So when it was time for me to go please my wife, I had to do something unique and creative. I called Joyce Reed at shopcreativegifts.com. She told me diamonds are usually the way to go, but when you can't afford diamonds in the moment, just get her a gift basket with some good quality gourmet foods. Or other stuff. Beers of the world. I don't know. Diamonds of the world. That's mine. All right. Jim Day, the Fantasy Taz. He's here with us today to discuss all things fantasy football. As you know, I love Jim because I don't need to prepare him. I just throw out a topic. He can talk about anything. Actually, I co-hosted his pod with him, his podcast, last Friday at 4 p.m. PST. Friday, tomorrow, on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be doing that again. And apparently, Jim's got an appearance, a big-time appearance lined up on the Huffington Post right after this. Jim, how you doing, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dish. It's been a busy day.
Hey, yeah, what is this thing? You're going on to school people who think that fantasy football is ruining the world?
Sounds like it, yeah. We're going to have to give them a little comeuppance.
Yeah, that's right. They don't know. What would we do without fantasy football? We'd be up to no good.
Oh, absolutely up to no good, no doubt. My wife loves that I'm doing fantasy football because I'm sitting in front of my computer most of the time.
That's right. And the funniest thing for me is every time my wife gets a little suspicious, she's like, what are you doing? What are you looking at? And she comes over to look at my computer screen thinking she's going to find, you know, some kind of porn. And it's really, it's my version of porn. It's stats.
Yeah. I'm not a big stats head, but I'm always looking at something or reading something. I can't get enough.
See, that's funny because I feel like you have a lot of your feelings and a lot of your predictions that is based on a lot of, you know, knowledge of statistical information and history and performance record. I tend to be much more of a gut feel guy. I mean, you've got a lot of gut feel in what you do, too. We know that by Darius Hayward Bay. But I love having all the information and seeing the patterns emerge. I think that's where it is. When you really
I totally
look at the
agree
stats.
With that. The problem is that you can always find any stats to go for any argument. And, you know, we've had this discussion before that you can find stats to argue either side of almost any argument.
Well, I think that's why we have so many fantasy football websites out there and why all of us are able to not cut into each other's business, because the reality is the true fantasy football fanatic knows that work is not his priority. His fantasy football team is, number one. And number two, they all know that all they're doing is looking for, they keep going site to site to site until they see the opinion they want to justify whatever feeling they have that week.
Yeah, I'm just the opposite. I go from site to site to site to read everybody's opinion so I can sit here and go, no, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. What are you thinking? And that's what gets me going.
Well, I would really love to get you into our custom rankings tool and see what where you come out on some of our rankings. We'll go over some of that a little bit. We'll do the interrogation game again, a little too high, too low. But questions for you here that I want to get into, a few situations that I'm looking for. We've talked a little bit about the Washington backfield, and I was saying earlier today, I am a big Roy Helu guy, but as we've talked about, you were talking about how he's a really poor blocker, and Evan Royster continues to enjoy momentum. I think the issue there is Shanahan would not go this far just to motivate Helu or to disguise it. I think Royster really is the lead guy in that back, but it looks to me like Royster is going to get the first and second down work and Helu gets the third down work. Do you see it playing out differently that way? I don't see Hightower getting in the mix.
No, actually, I do see Hightower getting in the mix. As soon as Hightower is healthy, he's absolutely going to get into the mix because they trust him. They know that if they put him back there that he's going to protect the quarterback. He's going to do what he has to do. He's an awful good runner. He just doesn't get the respect from fantasy owners that you would imagine. But if you go back and look at his stats and what he's done, especially on the teams he's done it for, he's done pretty well when he's on the field. And, you know, he gives them a little bit of everything. He can catch the pass. He can run. He can block. And that's what they're looking for. Now, Royster is a guy I've liked since he came out. A little slow last year, wasn't really in shape, you know, didn't seem like he was really that motivated to take that next step. Well, that seems to have changed. He
yep.
seems to come into camp, he's ready, he's fighting hard, he's putting up good camps, and you know what, he's going to get a chance, but Hightower is going to get in the mix. It's going to come down for Helu. I mean, he is explosive, and the coaches said it themselves. He's always looking for that home run ball every single time he touches the ball, and that's not always what we're looking for. So that's going to be one of his problems. The other problem is he's got to be able to stay healthy, and he's got to learn to pass protect. These young running backs just kill themselves if they don't know how to pass protect.
Well, fair enough. But I think, see, to me, the thing on Hightower is that he's a fumbler. And everybody can say what they want. That's why he never gets credit in Fantasy Nation, because every job he's ever had, he loses. He either gets hurt or he fumbles it away. But let's move on to the Jets. I want to talk about them. Right now, the guy with the most heat on him is probably Bilal Powell, and the guy who has the most heat against him would be Sean Green. I think that Sean Green is being exposed, and everybody is down on him right now. They're saying Tebow's going to take his goal line work. Sean Green's a November and December runner. He's a playoff guy at the end of the year when all the bodies are hurt. Where are you on Sean Green? Is Powell the guy to get in this backfield, or is Green still the man? How are you playing this situation?
Well, right now, Green is still the man. They want Green to be the man. They want him to be their bell cow guy, but even the coaches are saying he's not going to be in there on third down. And let's face it, most of the time on third down, if you're looking for any running back, you're looking for Tim Tebow. Let's just face it. I mean, that's the offense they're going to be running. I can't see them doing anything else. But I do like Bilal Powell. I liked him since he came out of Louisville. And, you know, it's just a trend we see with Louisville players is that they seem to take a little longer to get up to speed in the NFL, and that's what seems to be happening with him. This is a guy who's got a pretty good all-around game. He's explosive. He can run it up the middle. He can block. You know, all these things that we need, and I think he's a much better runner than Sean Green, but he's going to have to prove it to this coaching staff before they put him in there.
Yeah, it's interesting to me to see how that's going to play out. I think that's one of the more interesting situations that we're looking at. And I don't know. Joe McKnight, He always is interesting because he does get some return yards in those leagues, but he's just not somebody you could depend on, although it seems like a natural that he would take over some of the carries that Tomlinson got. Looking more now at a receiver situation, where are you on the Lions wide receivers? Titus Young, obviously, whoa, dropped the old phone there. Titus Young is battling for the second spot with Nate Burleson. Broyles is lurking in the background. Logan, what do you think?
He's going to play the outside. Burleson's going to stay in the middle. He's going to play the slot. That's his role anyway. Young is definitely an outside guy. I see him playing a lot of flanker. I think he'll do a good job there. And if you look at the way he finished the year, he finished it out strong. Four touchdowns the last four games. You know, his targets were up. It seemed like Stafford was finally starting to mix with him. And, you know, outside of the fight that he had at the very beginning of OTAs, coaches have been raving about him in camp.
I got to tell you something. I don't think coaches ever mind when they see a guy fighting in practice unless it's something real dirty. They just have to say that they don't like it.
Well, you know? That's just, it is what it is. It always comes down to public appearance.
Yeah, fire. You never mind a kid with fire. Although Young, my feeling with Young is, and maybe I'm stretching it a bit, but this is, you know, it was nice to see Roethlisberger say today that Antonio Brown is great, but he needs Mike Wallace to be the best that he can be because Wallace stretches the defense. I think Titus Young has the chance to be what Antonio Brown was last year because of Calvin Johnson's presence and Pettigrew's presence in the middle as well. What do you think?
I actually think he can be better because I think he's more of a red zone threat.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm real high on Titus Young. I like him a lot. Let's see. Jerome Simpson. He's going to sit out a couple of games. Maybe it's three games. Two or three games he's out.
Three games.
So he's out the first three games, which means he's going to be a dollar at most drafts. One of the most athletic players in the league. His leaping somersault last year was one of the best athletic football plays anybody's ever seen. He's a speedster. Seems to have his head on straight now that he's off the bong. What are your thoughts about Simpson and what his impact could be when he comes back?
Oh, I like Simpson. He's a playmaker. He's a guy that can make things happen. He's still a little raw. He's still got some edge to him. But at the same time, you're going into a situation in Minnesota where they just don't have anybody else besides Percy Harvin.
Yep.
So
do you think he helps?
As soon as he comes back, he's going to step right into that starting role. He's been working with the starters all camp. And that's just the way it's going to be. He's going to be that guy. And with Percy Harvin on the other side, he's not always going to see a lot of double teams. So, you know, I like his height, his size. I like his speed. He's got decent hands, although I would like to see them get a little better.
Yep.
But, you know, he can give them a player that they just don't have at this point.
Where are you on, like, Josh Gordon, Alshon Jeffrey, Kendall Wright, Blackman? Who in that group are you really the highest on?
Kendall Wright.
And is that just because of opportunity to get the playing time, or that's just because you believe he's such an all-world talent?
I think he's a really good talent, plus he's got the opportunity. So it's a combination of both. You know, Blackman's going to have the opportunity, but he doesn't have a quarterback throwing to him. Plus, he's an idiot.
He is an idiot.
I'm not a big fan of drafting idiots. I tend to stay away from them because they can become an idiot at any point in time and screw up your fantasy team.
So
I have a tendency to stay away from idiots, and he's an idiot.
Well, you know, you are breaking your own philosophy by coming on this show. Matt Flynn.
I really like the fact that he's got a chance to step right in and be a performer. You know, I like Britt as a talent, but he can't stay on the field for way too many reasons at this point. So I think Kendall Wright has a chance to have a really decent, you know, rookie season, but I also think he's going to have a really good NFL career.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you mentioned one of the all-time morons, Kenny Britt. Now, real quick, we only got about a minute and a half to the break. But Matt Flynn, am I the only guy high on Matt Flynn? We've got him in our top 20, and I think he's got potential to be top 15. Tell me I'm wrong or tell me I'm right.
I think you've been borrowing Jerome Simpson's bong.
Confirmation indeed. I like what they're doing with T.O. and with Braylon. One of those guys will pan out.
I agree, but the fact of the matter is that Matt Flynn still hasn't really won this job over Tarvaris Jackson and a rookie in Russell.
I think that's magician's patter. They since day one, he's taken all the lead first-team reps when they've counted. He'll start all of their preseason games. They might just be
and if you read all of the beat writers that are there watching the practices, they're not saying great things about Matt Flynn.
Well, you're not going to. He's learning a new offense. And I think that the thing that will separate Matt Flynn is when the games start, he will not be fazed by a pass rush. And that with most the quarterbacks they have there, Tavares Jackson never been able to handle a pass rush, and Russell Wilson's a rookie. All right, we're coming up on a break. Jim, hang around. We're going to have you back for another segment right after the break. Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday, getting schooled with the Fantasy Taz, and we'll be back after this.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Sports have become a big part of everyone's lives today. We all have that team that we live and breathe to follow. We watch hours of football on TV, play Madden Sports on our gaming system, and our wives can't seem to tear us from the couch. If this sounds like you, or if you're a football wife who wants a few words, we want to hear from you. Listen for Life, Love, and Sports, featuring your host, Ron Dixon. Ron takes you inside the world of sports and finds out what you, the fan, are talking about today. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
What's the national pastime in the U.S. in the 21st century?
Are you sure? Think again.
3 out of 4 Americans have made NFL football the true American pastime. It's now one of the fastest growing sports in the world. But how do we as fans understand everything that goes on behind the scenes? Tune in to Enter the League with Eugene T. Lee Esquire as your host. Eugene was the featured NFL agent in the ESPN acclaimed documentary The Dotted Line. And now he takes his expertise to the Voice America Sports Channel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
The football season is here. You're going to be hosting those football parties. You're going to think, oh, your buddies are coming over. One of them's going to call. He's going to say, hey, I'm bringing the wife. Next one's going to go and say, hey, I'm bringing the wife and the kids. Then you got to go. You got to go get some food. You don't know what to do. Just call NorthwoodsCheeses.com. NorthwoodsCheeses.com. Gourmet foods. Look on our site for their banners. NorthwoodsCheeses.com. I love sponsors, Jim. Got to plug those sponsors. I love cheese. I love those cheese heads up the Northwoods Cheeses people. They're cheese heads. Got to love that.
Cheese is never a bad thing.
You know what? It's the bane of my existence. Whenever I want to lose weight, I just stop eating bread and cheese. My two favorite foods. Let's get back into the rookies. Let's talk about, first of all, I'm going to give you, this is sort of a version of the interrogation game, which is where we interrogate you about the quality of the player. Rookie stud, who's your pick amongst these two for this season and the next three? Trent Richardson or Doug Martin?
A couple days ago, I would have sent Trent Richardson easily just because I think he's going to be a monster back. But
isn't
with
that
all the
interesting
talk at this point, it's got to be a little bit of concern. It's never a good thing to have even arthroscopic surgery this late into the preseason. So I'm a little worried. And, you know, for this year right now, I'm leaning towards Doug Martin.
So that's really interesting.
I still say, overall, Trent Richardson for the long haul.
Yeah, now Richardson, a week ago you asked this question and everybody's answer is the same. It's Richardson, no doubt, which is amazing that a little knee scope to get out some loose particles that have nothing to do with structural damage are creating this much hubbub. I think in keeper leagues, Richardson's still the guy. But what you're saying is this definitely affects him on the field. The first three or four games, they have to temper his workload. And maybe he isn't the bell cow back everybody thought, and he's not going to be able to handle a three-down back role, whereas Martin looks to be exceedingly durable, and he'll get plenty of time. So you're now on, if you got the first pick in a draft, are you going with Martin or Richardson?
Keep I would go with Doug Martin right now.
That's very interesting. All right, here's another question then. RG3 or Andrew Luck?
I'm a big, firm believer in Andrew Luck. I'm not taking anything away from RG3, and I'm not. But, you know, everybody's got him so high this year above Luck. I think that's just ridiculous. You know, they're seeing this young quarterback that can run, and they got visions of Cam Newton running around in their head. Well, he's not Cam Newton.
No, he's a passer.
He's not even, well, yeah, but he's smaller. And
yeah,
no way he's going to be.
I actually think that RG3 possibly outperforms Luck this year for one reason and one reason only: surrounding talent. I think that, Luck has a terrible offensive line.
Tell me how this surrounding talent in Washington is so much better than surrounding talent in Indy. This is something else that people say all the time, and I'm sitting here going, say what?
Well, where do you have a running back that you have to put anybody extra on the line for in Indianapolis?
Where do you have that running back in Washington
right now? I think any of the guys they have back there needs attention. Roy Helu requires special attention. Whether he gets the snaps or not,
he requires attention. Special attention from the coaches.
Yeah, well, but he requires attention to be able to. You have to scheme for Roy Helu. You can't just go out on the field and ignore Roy Helu and say a linebacker's going
to
cover him
one-on-one. For a guy who right now can't get on the field.
Well, yeah, I understand your point, but you can't put a spy on him one-on-one. He did all year. He killed linebackers that way. I don't think that Indy has one back capable of creating a mismatch. I think all three Washington backs, actually, when they're in the game, need more than one guy assigned to them.
Well, not Hightower, first of all. Sorry, no. I like Hightower, but he's not that kind of a back. He's not any kind of explosiveness at all. Royster hasn't shown it yet. He had two good games last year. I like Royster, but I'm not saying he's going to be an explosive back yet. We saw Donald Brown start to come on last year, and I'm not saying he's anything special either, but he's going to be their guy. But let's forget about the backs for a second. We're talking about a quarterback. Let's talk about the wide receivers. Now, if anybody knows that the Washington wide receivers are better than the Colts wide receivers, they're just plain nuts.
Oh, come on now. You're going to have
Reggie Wayne
and a couple of rookies. Austin Collie's going to be out in week
two. Really good young tight end prospects there. How can you say that Washington has anything to match up with?
I learned the hard way last year that tight ends never produce in their first year. So,
Gronkowski had 10 touchdowns in his rookie year and playing half the time.
Who's this?
Rob Gronkowski.
Okay, well, you know, yeah, there is an exception to every rule, but Fleener is not Rob Gronkowski. Even though
him a lot. Dwayne Allen is going to be Rob Gronkowski.
Well, that's the thing. Allen is looking better and better. That's what's interesting.
I like Dwayne Allen better than I like Fleener anyway. Everybody's making the leap to Fleener because he's played with Luck before. Dwayne Allen is the better talent all the way around.
And yeah, that's what...
You'll let somebody else take Fleener where they're going in, you know, the ninth or tenth round. Let them do that. Wait till the last round and grab Dwayne Allen. You'll be so much happier.
I agree with that 100%. I think that Allen is a more well-rounded tight end. No, I think the biggest problem Luck has, that line is a sieve. I mean, come on. The thing that Griffin has in Washington, I don't think you can compare receivers 2, 3, and 4... and running back, so five, in Washington. And Indy, Reggie Wayne, he's as good, if not better, than Garcon.
Right now, I would take Indy's number two wide receiver over any of the Washington wide receivers.
You would take Austin Collie?
I'd take Austin Collie over any of those guys.
I think that's insane. He's one of those guys who he's one hit away from going out of the, he killed you. And he didn't do anything without Peyton Manning. He's never done a thing once Peyton Manning left. Even when he came back last year.
Look, we had
only guy.
Quarterbacks last year.
Yeah,
come
but I mean, hey, Garcon performed.
Having guys out there that shouldn't be pitching Little League practice.
But Garcon performed.
No, he didn't.
Sure he did.
He
did something.
He was up and down like Garcon always is.
But yeah, but you know what? Those guys all, they had no consistency at any receiver position. Now, my whole point is, I think when you're looking at Santana Moss, who's still fine, Fred Davis, who's a polished pro tight end, and a receiving running back, out of the backfield. Plus, you've got kids like Hankerson and Josh Morgan fighting for some snaps to get on there.
Oh, yeah, they've done so much in this league.
Say that again?
They've done so much in this league, those two.
Well, come on. Austin Collie hasn't done a thing without Peyton Manning, and you've got rookies everywhere else.
He's only had 1 year without Peyton Manning, so that's really a ridiculous statement to say.
How so?
You know, let's see what he does with a real quarterback again this year, and I think you're going to be really freaking surprised.
I think he will be amazing for two games until he takes one hit.
Collie's having.
He'll be fine for two games until he takes one hit.
Nah, no way.
Come on.
No way.
The guy throws his head in there like he's a bullet at a, you know,
he was playing
into a China
over
shop.
The middle. He's not going to be playing over the middle as much this year. That's why they're moving him to the outside.
Yeah, I am definitely against you on this. I think Luck is the better long-term prospect, and I do think RG3 is going to perform, but what's going to save RG3 are his rushing yards. What people are ignoring is that Andrew Luck, physically, was better than Cam Newton at the combines. He should be able to translate into those rushing yards. That's what I'm interested to see.
And he will if he has to, but the thing with Luck is he doesn't have to. He's smart enough. He knows the offense enough. He knows what to read out of the defense that he can get the ball out of his hands quickly.
I have 100% of faith
with him.
In Luck's
ability
to do that.
He's going to get rid of the ball. So that offensive line isn't going to play as big a part as people are making it out to be.
No, I understand that, but I have 100% of Luck's ability to get rid of the ball. I just do not have any faith in most of that offense's ability to be where they're supposed to be. All right, let's move on to another topic. We talked about the receivers a little bit. Between these names, Michael Floyd, Alshon Jeffery, Josh Gordon, Keyshawn Martin, A.J. Jenkins, Nick Toon, Marvin McNutt, any of those guys you like to have impact, if not only in maybe in touchdown-only leagues and be the red zone threats?
Well, I like Alshon Jeffery. I think he's going to get an instant chance to get on the field and perform. I'm not a big believer in Devin Hester as a starting wide receiver.
Yeah.
So if Jeffrey can get out of his own way and get on the field, I think he has a really good season with Marshall on the other side grabbing most double teams.
Yeah, I think Jeffrey is a no-brainer. And I think I also, you know, I'm very high on Josh Gordon. I like his physical talent. Keyshawn Martin, there's some good news coming out that he's going to win that third receiver spot in Houston. I think A.J. Jenkins is a complete flop, no matter how much Harbaugh is protesting. And a guy I'm very excited about, actually, is Marvin McNutt. This guy is a red zone guy. And with Riley Cooper going down, the only guy in front of him is Jason Avant. Avant is a good possession receiver, but Avant is not a threat. McNutt is a threat in the red zone. So, thoughts there?
Well, he's going to have to get on the field. I mean, they feel pretty comfortable with the three receivers they do have. So with that going and with McCoy being the pass receiving threat that he is, I just don't know if there's enough touches for McNutt to make any kind of an impact this year.
Yeah, I think that for McNutt this year, he's a rookie keeper, and in touchdown only leagues or leagues that heavily skew touchdowns, you know, he has obviously more value. Do you see Nick Toon getting anything going? I mean, they're not happy with Henderson. Lance Moore's always hurt. Arrington's good, but he's not great. And Toon, apparently, they're calling him Colston Light. They're saying he's running all the same routes as Colston.
Which makes him a very good slot receiver. And, yes, I think he could really excel in that position.
Yeah, I do, too. I'm liking him. Chad Ochocinco, number one receiver in Miami. He looks very healthy and spry, like he's got a good attitude when you watch him on Hard Knocks. Some other tape. What's your take on Ocho this year?
Well, he's not Ocho anymore. Now he's back to Chad Johnson, and he's, you know, I've never been a fan of Chad Johnson. I love his antics, all of that, but he's always been that kind of guy that is going to get you two or three big games a year and then do nothing the rest of the time, and I try to stay away from those guys.
We're talking about sleepers a little bit here. Steve Smith on the Rams is starting to get some buzz. Is there any chance, because of the lack of competition there, that he emerges with any fantasy value?
Absolutely. If he's back to healthy, absolutely. This is a guy that's already caught 100 balls in the league. He's an explosive guy with the ball in his hands. And if he's 100% healthy, then he's definitely a guy you should be keeping an eye on. I wouldn't say draft him right now. I want to see with any of these Rams wide receivers. The only one right now I'll even take a chance with at the very end of the draft is Amendola, and that's in PPR leagues. But I want to see how they use these guys in the preseason and how they go forward, because they're going the one and two guys are going to end up with a lot of passes, and you want to see who those two guys are going to be.
Yeah, and I just don't see Brian Quick making an impact this year. Although,
well, he's coming on strong now, but I'm not huge on rookie wide receivers.
The rookie I actually like in St. Louis is the running back Isaiah Pete. I think he's a definitely a viable handcuff for Steven Jackson, and in keeper leagues, I think he's a nice play.
Absolutely agree with you. And been trying to grab him everywhere I can. As a matter of fact, I'm leading an auction on him right now.
Well, in the auction that we're in together, I totally blew it, went for too many guys, and now I'm trying to get Randy Moss, so don't steal him from me. Fantasy Taz, Jim Day, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck tonight on the Huffington Post. Do a good job defending Fantasy Nation, will you?
Yeah, I will. Thanks for having me on, Disha. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, bud. Take care.
Okay, bye.
That was the Fantasy Taz, Jim Day. I'll be on with him 4 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow. Right now, we'll go to break. When we come back, that guy from Chicago will come here and school me some more.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you looking for the ultimate trail to hike? Maybe you're looking to do the ultimate backpacking adventure. Whether you're a day hiker or an all-out backpacker, be sure to tune in to Backpacking America's Trails with host Rob Maureen. We'll explore some of the most fascinating places on Earth. In addition, we'll talk about backpacking gear, including reviews, safety tips, and more. Our experts will share recipes, destinations, and skills to make backpacking the most enjoyable experience for you. Listen every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional. Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
You know, I'm on the website and I'm looking at the 2012 English Premier League pre-season report. Tom Mullen and his crack staff of nobody built this English Premier League report. It's the second year we're putting it out. This year it is $13.95. You can go buy it. It's all about the English Premier League, soccer, primers, everything you need to know, and teaches you how to go play fantasy soccer so that if you want something other than baseball, it's very much like football in that it's a weekly thing. We love doing that. Anyway, back to American football, the sport we care about the most. And here with me now is that guy from Chicago, Mike Neese, who normally does the Fantasy Stock Exchange. But today, Mike, you're going to talk to us about your mastery of the Fantasy Football Webmasters. Tell me about this league and give me some intro to who else is in this league. And tell me the story, my man.
Well, it's a 14-team experts league, which makes it a little unusual. It's got other websites. I hate to slight any, but I'll mention a few of them. Fantasy Guru, who I beat for the championship last year.
We like that.
Roto World, Roto Experts, our friend Bob Lung.
Uh-oh.
The Huddle, Fantasy Sharks, and eight others. It's a non-PPR league. We were in it the first time last year, and we pretty much dominated. We had the high score in the whole league, 7 out of the last 9 weeks right up through the championship game. And we're hoping to have a repeat.
Sounds awesome. I like to have it. Tell me about this league now. What has gone on in the draft so far? Who was the first few players taken? Where did we pick? And, you know, what's the plan and where are we? Tell me what's going on.
We've got the 11th pick out of 14, which always makes it a little bit hairy because you never know what's going to be left when you get there. Normally, normally I like to take a running back in the first round, but most of the strongest ones were gone by then. So I took Cam Newton.
And Cam Newton at 1.11. Well, that's better than I do in most experts' drafts because I take him at 1.01.
Yeah, well, you know, and remember our friend Bob Lung telling us you'd never draft a quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, of course.
Drew Brees.
Oh, he took Brees in the first round?
He took Brees right before me. I thought I was going to have a choice of Brees or Newton.
That's very inconsistent of Dr. Consistency.
He's consistently inconsistent. I think there might be
we'll
a
have to, he's going to come on the show next week. I'll have to give him some grief. So I'm taking
we'll
a look at our
we'll
second
to,
pick.
We'll have to kid him a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right. Mike, at our second pick. 2.04, you went high risk, potentially high reward.
Yeah,
Maurice
you know,
Jones
when you
Drew.
See Maurice Jones-Drew sitting at the 18th pick in a draft, it's just hard to let him go.
Well, not if he's not playing.
Yeah, but... you know, odds are he's going to sign sooner than later.
Well, you're not so far off because when I look at our top 160, he's listed as 23. And the only reason he's not higher, obviously, is because of the holdout and what happened to Chris Johnson last year. So that's a concern. So I think people will look at that pick and say it's suspect. Who did you take in the third round?
I took Victor Cruz from the Giants.
Cruz is your number one receiver, okay.
Yeah, he was fourth in scoring under this format last year, and I don't look for him to get much worse than that.
Okay, and then moving on to the fourth round, who did we get there?
I took Isaac Redman from the Steelers.
Yee, you like him, huh?
I like him. He looks like he's going to have a great opportunity. A lot of people are saying that under the new offensive coordinator, Haley, they're going to have a strong running attack.
Who did you pass on or who did you evaluate and decide, no, I'm going to go with Redmond?
Basically, at that point, it was him or Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis who went a couple picks after that.
So you decided you were definitely going with a running back here. You didn't go best player available. You wanted to get your spot.
Yeah, there was a run on running on wide receivers, and I wanted to get a running back because my next pick's at 5.11, which is about 20 picks after this one.
All right, so last year you said you had the high score, 7 out of the 9 weeks, right up to the championship. Who were the keys to the team, Victor Cruz and who else?
Well, last year I had, last year was strange. I started off slowly, but I had Cam Newton, I had Gronkowski, Fred Jackson.
And Victor Cruz.
I didn't have Cruz on.
Oh, that was the other league.
That was the other league.
The one I screwed up.
But I had Laurent Robinson. I picked up Demaryius Thomas. And
so you did it. That's the thing with fantasy football. Everybody should listen to that. I mean, even in an experts league, everybody changes their roster so much. It's all about picking up
the lead. I was, believe it or not, 3-4.
And won the championship.
And ran the table.
So that's good. So tell me some notable picks or surprises, things that you were surprised by in this draft.
Well, so far, going into the fifth round, two people that I thought might have gone a little bit earlier, Peyton Manning and Randy Moss, are still on the board.
Interesting. And what about
Manning,
who went
of course,
too early?
A big risk. Moss seems to be back. Who knows?
Who did
Ryan
you think
Matthews
went, way too
went
early?
With the second pick overall.
Ryan Matthews went second overall?
Overall, yeah.
Who was that pick?
Yeah, that sort of surprised me.
Oh, that's the Roto World pick.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that was.
I think it's too high. I think statistically it's very possible.
Earlier.
I just don't believe in his ability to handle the physical pounding it'll take to make him the number two.
No, LeSean McCoy and Ray Rice went after him.
And then Chris Johnson went fifth.
Chris Johnson went actually fifth, which is just about where I'd expect him to be if he's actually back. Darren McFadden went eighth, which I thought was a high risk.
That's a real high risk. I'd rather have MJD.
Yeah, and Adrian Peterson went sixth in the second round, which I
so
think he's an even higher risk
where you
than
grabbed Jones-Drew.
Darren McFadden at the moment.
So basically what you're telling me is you could have grabbed Peterson where you grabbed Jones-Drew.
Yeah.
Oh, Mikey.
He's not even expected to necessarily start the first week.
You're lucky that I blew our draft on the FanEx League so badly last year, so I can't make fun of you no matter what, especially since you're the defending champ. I can't tell you anything.
You know, I made some dumbass picks last year.
Well, don't repeat it. Hey,
Sydney,
let,
I had Sidney Rice and Chad Ochocinco among my
yeah, but you know, last year this time we all thought they were going to be okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the FanEx League. We have the third pick, is that right?
We have the third pick, and we've got the then we come around and we've got the 10th pick in the next round.
Okay, so how many teams in this league?
Let's see, there's actually 24. They have sort of a senior circuit and a junior circuit. And when you come into the league, you're in the junior circuit. Then they have, what are your favorite terms?
Relegation.
Relegation every year. Teams move up and teams move down.
So right now, where are we? If there, how many are there? Two
our
leagues
first
or more?
Season.
Are we in that division,
hopefully we'll do better and move up to the big boys this year.
All right, so we have the third pick, right?
Right.
Who are you planning on? So based on what we're seeing, the first two, in all likelihood, are going to be Arian Foster and McCoy, or Arian Foster and Ray Rice. So sitting in number three,
I'm thinking whichever one of them is left would be who I'd probably take.
You don't move Chris Johnson into that mix?
Not just yet.
I do. If I have the number one pick in a draft, I'm going Arian Foster. Number two, I'm going Chris Johnson. Number three, I'm going McCoy. Of course, Fantasy Insights recommends Foster, McCoy, Johnson, Rice. So Fantasy Insights thing might be interesting to just go according to our draft tool. Did you run a draft tool for this?
No, I...
We'll have to do that, huh? We only got a minute left, Mike, so I'm going to have to tell everybody about this custom draft tool. What this custom draft tool is, everybody, go to fantasyinsights.com. You can get our player news for free. You get our injury report for free. You get our depth charts for free. You get my blog post for free. What you don't get for free is the custom draft tool. It is well worth it. You input your league scoring system, you click Create Custom Rankings, and it will generate custom rankings for your league, dollar value, and by position, top 160, it'll take you right through your draft. Mike and I are going to do that for the FanEx draft. What do you say, Mike?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, everybody. I'd like to thank Mike Neese, Fantasy Insights senior writer, for being here and helping us with this. I'd also like to thank Jim Day, the Fantasy Taz, for joining us today. Smitty, I ain't mad at you, but I ain't missing you. Dan Rose, wherefore art thou? Thought I was going to get a phone call. Fantasy Insights Radio. We'll talk to you next week. Go to the site, fantasyinsights.com.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.